Hello, and welcome to The Kosh. I'm your host, Timber Smith, and The Kosh is a podcast that spotlights people who've had an association with The Kosh or the surrounding Fox Cities area. Also, this episode of The Kosh is sponsored by Sturgeon Spirits Craft Distilleries, The Kosh's newest tradition. Kosh listeners, how are we doing this morning? It's another fabulous morning here in The Kosh. I'm excited. You know, normally I do a little more chatter at the beginning, but I read somewhere that that was bad. So I'm going to try to do less and less of intro chatter and get to the point of us being here today. Also, because of who we have as a guest today, I'm really excited about this conversation because this is The Kosh's first repeat guest. And what's going to be great about it is when they first came the first time, they were in one space and they were vying for a position. It was actually an electable position. And now they've been in the position. And what I'm hoping this conversation does is like now there's like who doesn't go into a job, a position without assumptions, like this is what it's going to be, this is what I'm going to be able to do. But now we're actually going to get the opportunity, I think, to have a conversation centered around like this is what it actually is. And that's always enlightening. And actually, I think that's part of what we always want to get in The Kosh is to peel back the curtain a little bit and understand our neighbors, understand our community, understand our systems. So this is going to be a good one. But this really wouldn't be an episode of The Kosh if I didn't tell you, you know. I don't know how we continue to get these amazing, amazing guests. And even if it's a repeat guest, that even makes it more special because they were willing to come back here. And there must be something good that we're doing here when people want to come back and share more with our community. So I'm excited. But, you know, more importantly, without further ado, this week's guest is Christopher Kearns. Christopher, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Yeah?
Excited to be here.
Yeah, it's a different setup now, right?
It's very much.
The vibe is different.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's good. It's I like to think it's a little more soothing than the other one. Not that the other one was bad, but at that time my daughter hadn't moved out her room yet and we couldn't turn it into a studio.
I mean, I think we got more comfortable chairs this time. So,
oh, facts. Yeah, we've upgraded. We're coming along. Okay, well, you ready to jump in?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Christopher, can you please tell us a little something about yourself and what's your connection to The Kosh and the surrounding Fox Cities area?
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Oshkosh. I have been here my whole life. I graduated from Oshkosh West High School, went to UW Oshkosh. Now I have two kids going through the school system as well. I have a sixth grader and a ninth grader, and I have a niece who's a senior. So kind of living all the different levels over the last few years. And
facts.
Yeah, she she's getting ready to graduate, actually joining the Air Force. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's just a lot of new experience. So, you know, just been involved in Oshkosh. Gotten involved in the school district race, 3 years ago. Wanted to give back to my community. We're involved in our local soccer club. Been involved in sports and other activities. So, been pretty involved in a lot of Oshkosh over the last few years. So,
The local soccer club, is that Oshkosh United?
It is.
Okay, I didn't know if there was another one now.
Well, we have multiple, and I'm just happy kids are involved. You know, to get involved in sports in whatever way, and activities doesn't have to be sports. And, you know, this is our way to give back to those kids that are in that club. But I'm happy that, you know, we have multiple clubs in Oshkosh, and I'm just happy kids are playing. So.
Oh, yeah. My daughter was in Oshkosh United, and I really enjoyed that experience. And those were really cool parents. We broke a lot of bread with them, sat in all sorts of weather on the sidelines, and it was just a great bonding experience. So I just want to send a shout out to all of those United parents who are making time to go to these games because that's no joke.
one of the most fun experiences for us with Oshkosh United is traveling to tournaments. Get to hang out, we get to meet families, hang out for a couple days. So it's,
yeah, that's true. And I just remember there was just wild, funny things that would happen at a tournament. Like all of a sudden there might be torrential rain, and then parents are somewhere. We're not here in the cache. We're somewhere else, and we're running around trying to find trash bags and a laundromat to dry everybody's uniforms before, they got to go back there and re-soak them.
Yeah, right.
It was just wild stuff. So that was kind of fab. So let's talk about your journey. Let's just get into that right now. The first, you were episode 7. So Kosh listeners, if you want to go back and hear how we have grown, Christopher here, he was episode 7. So that was really, really early in our podcasting journey. But he was very passionate at that time, and still is, about, he was very much campaigning to be on the school board. I'm curious to learn what you've learned, right? Because I, like anything, there's the assumption, like, if before I do something, I'm assuming what it's going to be, and then I do it, and then there's the realization of what it actually is. So what can you share with us?
I think the first few months when I got on the school board in April of 2021, we went through a superintendent change, and just the amount of stuff that was thrown at me and my other two new board members at that time was incredible. And the amount of learning was amazing. You get to see, how we build, just to go with tax levies, how we go about funding the district, how we work through literacy and other issues within our curriculum. And we have a long-term facilities plan and how we're going through that. And I guess what you see is the amount of work that is being done on the ground levels within the administration building and at the district level is incredible. And I think that sometimes that gets maybe not noticed as much, that the work is being done every day, and there's a lot of really educated, smart people within our district that are working, daily to try to make things better. And sometimes we get caught in the weeds of conversations about certain topics that, really at the end of the day aren't the primary focus of what the district is worried about, which ultimately from my standpoint and for many of us in the district is literacy, right? We're that's the most important item. And that's the number one equity work we can do is make sure every kid has the ability to read and accomplish their goals. And you start to see, the amount of work that's being done on a daily basis. And we have some new hires in our district with Sam Coleman. Dr. Sam Coleman brought in for superintendent of curriculum and instruction. Sorry, I didn't say assistant superintendent of curriculum and instruction, but he is amazing. And we're getting some fresh eyes on some things that we need to. And I think that's areas that just doesn't get aired a lot for the public to see, but I've led the education committee for 3 years, and we get reports on that items every month. And it's incredible to see the work that's being done. Still a lot of work to do, obviously, but work being done.
I want to send a big shout out to Sam. Kosh, listen, if you don't know, Dr. Coleman does have his own episode, so check that out. It's fire. And what do you think one of the biggest myths that our community has about our school district? Now that you're behind the scenes, behind the curtain, what's a myth that you, because there's always myths and there's always things people assume. What's a myth that, you might have even had before you had the opportunity to actually be on the school board?
I think sometimes people assume the school board or the school district has more control over curriculum or instruction or basic, policies that are being run within the district. And many times, even myself, I've been surprised that a lot of those are state requirements.
Right.
And so when it comes to days missing from school or other things, like, those aren't just Oshkosh School District deciding you only get to miss so many days of school before, it becomes a problem. Like, those are things we just have to, we follow. They're laws made somewhere else. So there's an assumption that we have maybe at times more control and sometimes not enough control, but I think there's a miss between kind of where we fit in the overall hierarchy of the system.
It makes sense. I think a lot of people actually don't understand there's like an educational governing board for the greater state who, and I forgot, what is that acronym?
DPI.
Yeah, DPI. It was a Department of Public Instruction, yep. Correct.
And they were actually in Oshkosh a few weeks ago running a workshop to just get feedback from the community and had it at Vail Phillips. And I think they said it was the biggest, most supported session that they had had in the state at that time.
Wow.
So Oshkosh is involved.
You know, they show up.
They're here, and the work we're doing right now is incredible, and the feedback and the support is acknowledged. It's awesome.
What is one of the what is one of the things you're most proud of that you've been able to be part of since you've been on the school board?
There's a few, so I'll work my way through them. The first one is the hiring of Dr. Brian Davis.
Facts.
He is incredible. He is doing an amazing job, and I am a huge supporter of his. The team he is surrounding himself with is, we are going to make transformational, generational changes in this district over the next few years, and it is coming. And we have invested into our staff, and we have work to do on that. We're not all the way there, but with our facility plan, being able to restructure the buildings to where our enrollment sizes are is going to allow us to staff those buildings more correctly and should allow us to invest more into those staff so they're not spread so thin. And so that's another way that, you know, we have done some things and we have more work to do. But I think the number one item that I've been most proud of in Oshkosh was the item that I pushed for, which was the naming of Vail Phillips. I just thought that was an opportunity that we couldn't pass up. That was an opportunity to name a building for someone in Oshkosh who represents our growing diversity within our community. We are a district that it currently is at least 30% not white. And I don't know that a lot of people in Oshkosh understand how diverse this city is getting and getting quickly.
Yeah, if I remember the last numbers I heard for Oshkosh was around 34% or something like that. So one out of three.
And we're having more and more refugee outreach families coming into our community. Our community is supporting them. The numbers we heard at the last meeting regarding English as second language learners in our community is we have over 60 different languages spoken in Oshkosh. And after that meeting, I've talked to a number of people, and I was like, guess, how many do you think? And they're like, I don't know, 8, 9, 10, 15 different languages. And I said, over 60. Mm-hmm. And I think people just don't understand, you know, how diverse we're getting. And I think it was important to name a building for someone who looks like those changes, who has represented those changes. And it's an opportunity for us to move forward. And then the next naming of the building was Menominee. And that just goes along with the next part of it, our history, our Native American history in Oshkosh. And then naming it for the Menominee tribe. And, you know, their input and their support of that has been great. And those are changes that will stick with this district for, I mean, the way we keep buildings, probably 100 years.
I do think I'm going to be the first to say it. I didn't think it was going to happen. I know the conversation was happening when there was the naming, but I did not have enough faith that it was actually going to happen. So I'm really proud that that happened. I got to see kind of this when this naming thing was going on. They were also doing a naming thing also in Appleton for the Ron Dunlap Elementary. And so that, to watch these two communities close to, in close proximity of time, both come through with these names, to name influential past community members and name these buildings after them. There's power in words. There's power in a name. And it also says a lot about the community of who we're becoming. And that's something I can get behind. That's something I can be super proud of.
We did a presentation at the school board convention, the state education convention back in 2023, where we recapped for an audience there the naming and the process we went through. And we had all of the board members there and went through it. And even though we had conversations and differing opinions, at the end of that, it was probably one of the most proud moments on the board, because once it was done, we all supported it. Whether we voted for it or not, we supported it and we moved forward. And it just shows that that's the that's how the community can come together. You know, sometimes we get divided by big ticket items, and really we're all neighbors. We're all in this together. I think one of those people who think that we agree on way more than we disagree on. Sometimes we get lost in that, but
right.
Or lost in the other stuff. And you know, it was a really, really, I guess, a heartening moment, you know, to feel all of that come together. And the public has supported it. I mean, it's been great. I heard a lot of positive feedback once we named that for Vel Phillips. And for those of you who don't know much about Vel Phillips, there's a lot of, I think PBS did a great documentary. You can go out and see, just to get a quick recap. We were at the school board, the state education convention, where we presented about how we did it and what we went through to get to that point. Right. And that building is on Vel Phillips Drive in Milwaukee. So it was just the how it all came together was pretty incredible.
Yeah, I was pretty proud. Yeah. And we got to have conversations about it when you were kind of going through the process. And even then, I don't know if you thought it was 100% a win-win. Like, there's a few moments that it felt a little shaky.
Yep.
But, you know, super proud of who we are and who we're becoming here in the community. And I always can't stress that enough. You know, my only complaint sometimes is we might not be moving fast enough on some of the things, but at least we're moving.
I think that's fair. I mean, I think that the work that we've done in the last 3 years for our diversity work, equity work in our district, you know, I think that we've had a lot to make up for. And part of why we hired Brian Davis was for his experience in these areas.
Right.
And I think that's fair. I think a lot of community members are looking at where we go next. Sometimes, like, it's real students, it's real people. And so we have to move as fast as we can. But it's also fair, I think, to look back and say, wow, we have accomplished some things in the last 3 years that we haven't done in the last 20 in Oshkosh.
Oh, yeah. I'm big on that. Like, we often get caught up with, well, we haven't gotten enough done, but you got to also take the time to celebrate progress. Like, all progress is good progress, right? If it's moving in the right direction. And so we're shifting.
Yep.
The naming, these hires, bringing in a diversity director into the school district. These kinds of things are huge because I really don't think, once again, it's sometimes you don't know what you're looking at until you think about what you're looking at. And the community has changed. We're changing,
yep.
But we already changed.
We have.
And so we, you know, before there was a lot of hemming and hawing, I believe, because they didn't believe that the changes were warranted because there wasn't capacity. Like, they didn't see the numbers. But no, you refuse to pay attention to actually there are lots of numbers. The number's bigger than most people assume. And then when you say it out loud, you're like, oh. And then you start thinking about it. Oh, you know, now that I think about it, yeah. Everywhere.
Yep.
Everywhere where we are a shifting community. See it in workers, you see it when you drive, you see it in school, you see it in basically every system, except for some of maybe our employment opportunities, where there's still opportunity there.
I think we noticed that in the district, we still, the percent of students that are non-white, the number I was going with wasn't the community, but just in the district, you know, 70% yeah. White, 30% students, but the teachers don't reflect that. You know, you don't have 30% non-white teachers. You know, we still have some work to do to make sure that we find qualified teachers that, you know, those mirrors and windows that the students see as they work towards progress is important. And
oh, yeah.
It starts with the teachers that are in front of them. So, you know, we have work to do in that regard, but the area that gets kind of sometimes misconstrued a little bit is, and this is something within the district, you asked me earlier about getting behind the curtain a little bit and what do you see? I think there's a miss between what DEI really is and the diversity, equity, inclusion. And, you know, Anthony Miller Jr. was brought in, and that position was a position that I struggled to support at first to find out how it was going to be worked and how we were going to do it. And it's really a community engagement piece. It's really connecting the dots for people.
Facts.
And I think that DEI isn't black versus white. It's not creating racist problems that sometimes gets...
No.
It's DEI includes special education. It involves gender issues. It involves veterans issues at some point. It involves all these different issues that is meant to meet people where they are and give them the tools to succeed. And I think when framed in that capacity, I've had a lot of people who said to me, oh, I don't like, or, you know, some people have said, I don't like DEI because they hear what they think it is. And when you learn what it really is and what the importance of it, there's support for that because you want everyone to get the tools to succeed.
Well, not just that. What I always tell people is the people who don't like DEI don't think they are, but you are too. That's what I try to remind everybody all the time, is that DEI is you too. All those identities, all the things that make up who you are, you know, do you take medications? Do you have health issues? That's DEI. Those are things that we talk about and we consider. Do you know people who are unhoused? That's DEI. It's stuff that we tackle also. Do you know people with abilities issues, mobility issues? Do you know people with neurodiversity issues? Do you know? That's all it. We're just trying to say, let's try to make sure that we create space to be considerate of all. That doesn't mean putting one over the other. It just means making sure that when we're being strategic and we're putting things together, let's not only look at it from this one majority way. There's these little tweaks that can be done sometimes that will make such a huge difference and include so many others in these processes. And they're not major. They're not these major overhauls that people think. It's so humanistic.
Yep. I mean, when we raise each one of us up, we raise all of us up.
Right? Facts.
And so I'm a we before me person. I think that we raise everyone up around us. It will automatically make all of us better.
Facts. Okay. That was an awesome kickoff. How's it feel be back in the seat?
Feels good.
Awesome. All right. You know what? We're going to jump into an episode. And here's what I'm going to do. I do believe I'm going to start off and I'm just going to do my what in the world is going on with. And I know you said you might not have one and that's okay. But
maybe I'll think of one.
You're going to think of one? Okay. So the first segment is what in the world is going on with. That is where we start with the phrase what in the world and then we share what's on our mind. So I want to say, what in the world is going on with not being able to get car parts for like 2 months? Man, let me tell you.
Bruh.
So, you know, Kosh listeners, if you have listened to previous episodes, I had a car accident. It was that one day that it was crazy cold. Like, it was so cold that the salt wouldn't work. So the salt would melt, and then it would refreeze. Or it just never froze, right? So I was going to work, and I'm driving down basically Bowen County A, and I'm trying to make a turn on Snell Road over there by the train tracks. I make my turn, right? And I'm not going fast because you know it's super icy. And so I just turn, and then all of a sudden, boom, my car just kept going. And I had no more control. And there's nothing more scary than when you just know that you are at the whelm of nature because my car was just floating towards whatever. And there was no way, and it was all ice. There was no way I was going to find a patch of like ground to stop. And so I float at a decent speed, not fast speed at all, into a snowbank. Boom. All right. So that being said, no airbags or anything like that. And I wasn't hurt because it was a snowbank. So there was give and all of that, right? But I did crunch up my bumper, took my front bumper out. I didn't mess my hood up or anything like that. So I was like, all right. I was highly disappointed about it because all I could think about is my insurance rates. I was in my feelings. But I was like, all right, cool. Drive the car to work, come home, look at it like, damn, this stinks. And I bungee up my bumper to my car and I was like, let me do the insurance thing. So I do the insurance thing. Big shout out to State Farm. They're doing an excellent job. But, you know, I got to the part of the insurance thing where we take my car in, you know, pictures assess, when can they get it in to fix it? And they're like, end of February. I was like, what? And they were like, well, we can't get these parts in. They're really hard to get right now, blah, 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 blah. And I was like,
bruh.
I was in my feelings about it. So, nonetheless, I'm still drivable with a big old bungee cord holding my bumper on and all those kinds of things.
You're driving that Appleton every day with
you? Every day. I have no shame. Yeah, you know, hey, look, I just think of all the people I've ever looked at, and there was some duct tape holding this together, a bungee holding that together. I'm that dude now.
I've done it before.
Yeah. And so that's just my way in the world is why? Now, during COVID, it used to be like that. Like, you didn't want something to go wrong with your car during COVID because they were having supply chain issues, right? But my big issue is right now, like, aren't we past that? And seriously, like, it's going to be a month and a half for these parts. I'm just in my feelings about it because, you know, I just want to get it done. It's not that I'm scared to drive my car being held together by a bungee cord. It's just that, you know, you want to get it off your mind and you want to just get back whole to where you were at. So that's my what in the world is going on with. All right.
All right. I have one I'll share.
Let's go.
So obviously involved in youth sports in our community. And I guess I've coached a number of sports. I mean, I wrestling was my big sport. I wrestled at Oshkosh West, wrestled into college at UWO, and, you know, refereed a lot of sports. I've been involved in basketball, football, soccer, you know, just involved in a lot of different things. And what I will say is give special shout outs to the referees and everybody who does that job. That's a difficult job.
Facts.
And I guess I would just like to see more respect given to those individuals and the jobs that they do. I think that they do hard jobs, and without them, we don't have the games. And so I think that, you know, we're struggling for our soccer club finding, you know, referees and young referees. And so.
Has it gotten out of hand? That's what I'm going to ask, because I've heard that I'm not in it anymore. I used to be in it. And yes, I've seen some pretty amazing things, but the parents have gotten pretty zealous.
I mean, I think that's the part of it is the adults involved in those with being the coaches and the parents and understanding that, you know, I get it. You want your kid to win every game and you want everything to happen, you know, but part of life is understanding sometimes things don't quite go your way. And, you know, my son is involved in high school wrestling, and sure, there are times when you look at it, and as a referee, I probably wouldn't have called that, but you know what? We move on. You know, we don't dwell on that, and that's not the place that we focus. And so I'd love to, I guess, what in the world's going on with? I'd like to see us be a little bit better. I mean, we're role models in our community as well when we're coaching and we're parents and we're involved. And I think that how we treat our referees shows a lot about, you know, how we treat each other. And so I think we can do better. And so they're important. We also need them, and we can't keep driving them out of it because we won't have sports if we don't have them. And so maybe try to build them up a little bit.
I remember that. Like, that was one of the things. My daughter didn't want to be a ref because she was like,
yeah.
Nah. You see these parents?
My son's a soccer ref. He's 15, and he does it. He enjoys it. There's some good money there, but he's handled himself pretty well. But there are some that have quit already, you know, been in it for a year, and, like, I'm not, that's not worth it. We need them. We need those kids.
Facts. We just need those refs because, yeah, you know, we want the sports.
Exactly.
We can't have refless sports.
that would be interesting to see.
Yeah. I mean, even the WWE has a ref. I like that one. That's a really good what in the world is. That's facts. I can't tell you how many things I've seen now. Like, you know, the power of the internet. But of course, the negative always comes out first. People fighting refs, chasing refs off fields, just all sorts of wild things happening out there in games.
I mean, they're going to, even just moment to moment, they're going to miss a call. We don't have to question them, yell at them in the middle of a game. We don't have to, like, just, it's okay, you know? But when it gets to the extreme, chasing people off, I mean, you see the videos of punching refs and all that stuff.
That's, yeah. What is that?
We can do better.
We can do better. Facts. Okay. I like that a lot. Okay. Well, we're going to move to our next segment. And our next segment is called 21 Questions. And there aren't 21 questions, but there might be 21 answers because these are really good in-depth questions. You ready to jump in, Christopher?
Let's go.
All right. What are you grateful for?
So I think the obvious answer is probably the one I'm going to give, but it's my family. You know, my wife, Sarah, and my boys. Shout out, Arian, who's a freshman, and Aylin, who's at sixth grade right now, and then my niece, Asha. You know, they've meant a lot to me in my life. They've, you know, helped me be a better person. You start to see things through other people's eyes, support them, be there for them, help them grow, try to teach them. Family's important, and I understand that everyone's family looks a little different. It's what you make of it, I think, at times, for who is your family. Sometimes it can be your friends. It could be, you know, who's important to you. And for, you know, for us, it's, we talked, talked to my kids the other day on our way back from a wrestling meet. Shocking. We're always going somewhere. And as I said, I was driving on the car the other day thinking, what is rich? And they said, you know, immediately answer is, well, if you have a lot of money. You have a lot of money, you have a lot of this and that. And I said, okay, we start going through different scenarios. What would you rather have? You know, would you rather be super wealthy, but not have family and have a big house, but live by yourself? Or would you rather have, you know, our house, which is an average size house in Oshkosh with, you know, our family there, we're supporting, we're going to all these different activities together. We're there at almost everything we can do together, you know, and ultimately you start to realize that maybe that's rich. You know, having what you need, having enough and having that support mentally, emotionally with your family, you know, sometimes that's more important than the money. When it comes to that, obviously you need to have enough to get by and get what you need. But for me, it's my family. I think that's drives me and keeps me going every day.
What motivates you?
So I wanted to go into that second question myself, but I waited for you to ask it. So what motivates me is to make sure that everyone has the opportunities that I have, that everyone has the opportunity to have that family, to have a house, to have enough money to have basic needs met. I live in Oshkosh. I'm very thankful that I was born into a place where, you know, I have the opportunities to be successful, but not everyone is. And even those who are in Oshkosh don't all have the same opportunities. And so my goal, being on the school board and just in life and involved in different activities, I think everybody should have access to a safe place to live, should have access to being healthy and happy and access to education and access to resources to make themselves better. And that's not always the case currently, but one of my goals and one of my main goals just being on the school board in life is that. I don't think that what I have is anything anyone should have to work extremely hard to be able to access. I think that these are basic human rights that I'd like to see us do better at. And I think that what motivates me is to try to help as many people as possible be able to live this way.
What grounds you?
I think perspective and empathy. We're getting real thick with this, at least for your questions here, but I think perspective and empathy are really important to understand, and they all kind of go together with these first couple is, you know, what being able to understand that different people see things differently, and that's okay. You know, trying to understand where they're coming from. I heard a quote the other day, seek to understand before you seek to be understood. And I think that trying to understand each other is what grounds me. When people get real angry and real frustrated when you see somebody, when you get cut off on the road, you know, and someone's just a horrible human being because they cut you off, you know, you don't know what that person's going through that day. You don't know what that person's going through in that moment. Maybe it doesn't excuse every action that's out there, but might give you an opportunity to learn just a little bit more about somebody and help somebody. And so I think if we can all have a little perspective, a little more empathy for what we're all going through, that's helpful. And that's kind of what grounds me and tries to keep me, you know, just aware of what's going on around me.
What does success look like?
I think success for me is understanding each other, supporting each other. As I said earlier, I'm a we before me person. And so I think that success looks like what's best for our community. When you see your community growing, you see the school district, you see students achieving at a high rate, we all get the benefit of that. students going on to whatever career that they choose, if that's college, if that's tech school, if that's, you know, into a trade. I mean, that's giving people the opportunity to be successful, I guess, is probably the most important thing we can do in the community for our next generation, is to give them the tools. And so I think success looks differently. For myself, it's personally, it's, you know, being able to travel and see sights and go visit things I haven't seen before. You know, Disney World's a big thing for our family. You know, we love going to Disney. And so it's a fun place to be. Being able to go there every once in a while is a great thing to be able to experience as a family. And I just, you know, have a hard time sometimes thinking about it just for myself and not for the community. But, you know, I think being able to have your basic needs met, be able to maybe travel a little bit, be able to have the opportunities to see your kids at a music concert or an athletic event, see them succeed, I think that means everything to me.
What irritates you?
I think the biggest, I was talking to people and probably the thing that gets me the most is when you feel judged for things that if you seek perspective, you'd understand more. And when people start to judge without asking or judge without knowing, I think that really, you know, bothers me when we're not seeking to understand each other. And then people are just so quick to judge, you know, oh, you did something, you voted this way or you did that, you must be this. And it's just a lack of that understanding. You know, funny thing, I was told before I ran for school board first time, you must be really good at not letting things bother you. And I was like, actually not. Like I used to take things a lot more personal when people would say stuff and make comments. And I think having gone through this and getting behind the curtain and seeing what happens and understanding what our role is, has helped me to understand and be able to accept those criticisms actually more, because I know the good work that we're doing. I know the good work that has to be done. So when I hear people complaining, I don't necessarily take it as personal as I used to, because I can understand the bigger picture. And I try to do what I can to help other people see that bigger picture too. But sometimes it doesn't work that way. It's not as simple as that. But I think judgment probably irritates me. If there is anything, I think probably just being judged and hearing people judge other people without maybe knowing bothers me.
What scares you?
Sharks. I don't know that I have anything. I mean, you know, like you love your family, you want to make sure your family is safe and taken care of. And there's, you know, scariness to that every day, leaving your house, driving on the road, hitting a snowbank, right? You never know what's going to happen, but I don't really have anything that really scares me. I mean, you know, life's moving fast. You're trying to accomplish everything you can, trying to make the world a better place. I say sharks because, man, sharks are scary.
Sharks are scary.
I don't want to swim with a shark.
No, well, I just don't want to swim. Water is scary to me.
Yeah, I don't know. That's always been a, you know, when I was a kid, that was a reoccurring nightmare, you know, sharks. And I have a hard time. We watch a lot of animal shows.
Yeah.
And I love them. All those Blue Planet, Our Planet, all that stuff. Just love them. And I've gotten a little bit understand what the, how sharks, you know, are a part of the ecosystem and the importance of them. But man, some of them are scary. So no, thank you.
No sharks, no Shark Week for you, huh? No,
I do not watch Shark Week.
Bruh.
Oh, I love it. Okay. What recharges your soul?
I think the hope that we can do better just in anything. So I'll give you a story. I wrestling was my main sport growing up, and the sport I know the most about. Probably not my favorite sport, which is crazy. Probably basketball, but I just was better at wrestling. So I always took to, you know, did wrestling. My son has picked up wrestling, my oldest, 2 years ago. And we've really taken, like, I've taken a really slow tour path with him as we get better. And it was just, you know, at times I would very honestly and openly look at him and say, okay, you're going to go into this match and you're going to lose, you know, like this kid is great, but we're going to work on some things and we're going to grow and we're going to take our time as we move through this. And the goal wasn't win a match as a seventh grader, win a match as an eighth grader, win whatever. The goal for him was, hey, by the time I'm a junior or a senior in high school, I'd like to be a pretty good varsity wrestler. I'd like to be able to contribute, win some matches. And So we've slowly moved through this. And I think for me and for him, as we talk after every match and we just reground ourselves as what the focus is, it's that hope that at the end of the day, it's going to be better. And 2 years into this, he qualified for the JV state tournament this year. You know, nice. He's won some matches. He's won some varsity matches. He's got a winning record as a freshman. And so as we work through this, it's slowly just when you start to see the work that you're doing and you see success, it kind of breeds more success, right? And so the hope that there is better out there kind of started that whole process that he trusted me and was able to follow kind of this path. And I think of just in life, that's very similarly, like, you know, the hope of what we can do better. And if that's the naming of Val Phillips, if that's the hiring of more staff members that can get us to a place that we need to get to, that hope is important. And that hope is something that when it comes to school board, I feel a tremendous amount of hope as to where we're going forward right now.
How do you define love?
That might be the more challenging of the questions you put down here, because that one's always, I could be defined by so many different things. But for me, another quote I heard recently that really stood out to me was, many times we spend too much time on what is urgent and not as much time on what is important. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't help but think about that in my own relationships as we're, you know, focused on everything coming up at us and not on what is actually the most important thing to you. And for me, love is very intentional and it's very prioritizing who is important to you, or what is important to you. You know, if that's watching the, for those of you that like football, watching the Packers, you know, watching whatever, doing what matters to you, that's great. You know, do what matters to you. But, you know, if that person is what matters to you, make them know it, you know? And so I think love for whatever that is, if it's a person, if it's a thing, it's making sure that you do focus on what matters to you and prioritizing that. I think that for me, for many times, I think of, you know, my relationship with my wife, and I think that's, it's been a struggle at times, but I think acknowledging, you know, what each other needs and wants and prioritizing that in your relationship and whatever is important. And I probably a long answer there for that one, but I think prioritizing what's important to you.
All right, last question. What is the most memorable lesson you've learned from your parent, guardian, mentors?
I think my grandpa was a big part of my life until he passed away, coming up on 9 years. He was really important to me, just showcasing what family could look like. He was at a lot of my activities. And I think just him, just the love he showed to myself and my sister when we were little, when we needed it the most. You know, we came from a divorced family and my grandparents were huge parts of my life and my grandma still is. And I think just showcasing that love and you know, willingness to be there for us was important. The other thing is sometimes we don't talk about it, but sometimes what we learn the most from our parents, guardians, and mentors is sometimes not what to do, but what not to do. You know, when you look back on what you saw and what you experienced. So I think that at times it's kind of showing you the person you don't want to be as much as the person you want to be. And so, but I think personally, it's probably my grandpa was probably in just a love for his family that most important to me.
That's a really good point, though. You do learn both ways.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's easier to talk about what you don't want to do versus what you do want to do.
It makes people uncomfortable when you talk about the negative stuff. So we tend to avoid it, but at times it's just as powerful, if not more.
Facts. Okay. That was an awesome segment. We are ready to jump into the next segment. And that segment is word association. And this is where I'm going to say some words and you just tell me what comes to mind. And we have a tradition here on the Kosh, and we start off with the same word every time. It's the word that unifies us all. It's the word that makes you smile when you say it. It's the word that makes us all happy, and that word is food.
First thing I think of is cookies. My favorite thing is cookies. So.
Bruh.
I haven't met many cookies that I don't like. I mean, pizza's right up there with it, but cookies are my thing.
I know that's real because when you said it, you smiled.
Yeah.
You're like, cookies.
I one of my avatars on one of the streaming services is Cookie Monster. You know, like, give me the choice of Cookie Monster. I have to. I got asked if I wanted a cookie yesterday, and I was like, I don't think I've turned down cookies before, so of course I wanted that.
Facts. Yeah. That's a good one.
And what's yours?
Well, I'm going to go with right now. If I was to say a word and you said food, and I'm always thinking about tacos.
Yeah.
It's tacos.
I assume that, because when I walked in the door, you were thinking tacos.
So. I was trying to, for Kosh listeners, just so you know, when he walked in the door, I was trying to talk my wife into going and picking up some tacos. So when we were done with this episode, that there would be tacos waiting for me. And I have no shame about it. It's Sunday. If there's not a good day to have tacos and nachos, it's Sunday. A football Sunday.
Yeah, you got a couple games to watch and you can
eat some food. Look, here's the thing. I'm not even like a huge football fan at all. I just really want to sit down. It's a good reason to have tacos and nachos.
I don't watch as much football as I used to. And I agree. Same thing on those Sundays. Like making some fun dips or making some fun foods.
Yes.
Just an excuse to do it.
Facts. My wife's usually really good about like making like a game time charcuterie board, and they are wonderful. Okay, cocktail or beer? And I think I know the answer to this.
Yeah. So the funny thing is, this is the evolution of Christopher since the last time I was on here. My answer was nothing because
right.
I didn't drink, and I hadn't drank until I was 40. It was like a month after my 40th birthday. We went down to Madison, and my wife had this fun cocktail, and I was like, I think I'm going to try that. She looked over at me like, am I crazy? And I was like, I don't know. I think I'm ready. Like, I just didn't want to before. And I'll probably offend people, but I've tried beer. I just don't like it. So I like cocktails. I like, you know, give me a margarita, pina colada, you know, something fun like that.
You like fruity cocktails?
I do. I
don't have no shame. That's good. Me too.
Yeah. It's a fun like to try different fun ones as we go at different places, but that's my favorite.
All right. You're right. I didn't expect that. I didn't know about this new adventure. Okay. Yeah. Things have changed. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Shop local.
I still think food. I think local restaurants. And so, you know, like local pizza places, you know, I don't want to miss anybody, so I'm going to offend somebody if I don't call them out. But our favorite local places we go for pizza is Benzie's, or we go to West End. So I think food. I always think food. But the other one that's not in Oshkosh that I have to give a shout out that Timber here is well aware of is Copper Rock in Appleton.
Oh, facts. Also, I see you there all the time. Yeah.
It's also a, you know, local not to the Kosh, but it's local to, you know, Green Bay and Appleton. There's three locations and, you know, locally run organization. Super great little coffee shop. Get a lot of fun things. I love a chai tea from there. And yeah, just give a shout out to the local places.
Oh, big time. I do the vanilla chai. Their vanilla chai tastes like Christmas. And if you don't believe me, Kosh listeners, I challenge you to go to Copper Rock and have one. It is crazy, crazy good.
So why don't you add a little gingerbread syrup and a little peppermint candy cane to that? And you got yourself a little Christmassy drink, too.
Is that how you get down?
Can you just add a little extra flavors to that?
I'm not scared. Not scared. I will definitely be down for that. Yes, and this I saw you had a pizza theme here going on for the shop local too, and I'm big on that. But our place is, I swear by Pizza King. Pizza King is the best pizza in the Kosh. They can cook it for you, but you can take it half baked. And anyone that I turn on to Pizza King, like, they become loyal to it after that. They're just, like, serious. And the Pizza King, the one I'm referring to, because there is a difference, I'm referring to the one over there by the old family video.
Okay.
That one, those dudes are fire.
You know what? I kind of forgot about Pizza King. There's, used to work up in Appleton, and we used to get it there at work, and it kind of slipped my mind. We're going to try Pizza King next time.
I'm telling you now. You will not be disappointed. You will not be disappointed. Concert.
We don't go to a lot of concerts, but what I'm hoping for, and if my wife is listening, she'll hear this and not forget about it, is I've never seen Journey, and I think Journey would be an incredible concert. And so I'm hoping, because I believe they're coming to Oshkosh this summer in August with a new festival out at the old Country USA grounds.
That are they starting a festival out there again?
Yeah, there's, I think, something Crossroads at 41 or something like that they're doing, and they have, I don't remember all the other acts, but I got turned on to the fact that Journey will be there. So I think Journey would be just an incredible experience. So
there'll be a lot of singing going on.
There will be. I will not have my voice the next day.
Yeah. That is what I picture at a Journey concert. I just picture a lot of people in the crowd singing along with the songs.
I haven't been to many concerts, but it's worked out. I've seen Boyz II Men twice.
Oh!
And that's another one where you're singing the whole time, too. You don't have your voice the next day. Yeah. That's a fun one to sing at.
Now, the Boyz II Men, I would go check that out. Yeah. That sounds like a fire concert. Okay. Feeling that. Streaming.
Well, I mean, this should have been like what's going on with segment, right? With streaming. Because the first thing I think of is streaming is the fact that, you know, these crackdowns on passwords and everything now. What, you pay so much for all this different stuff. Sometimes you like to just kind of share it a little bit. Be able to, because it's so expensive to try to get access to everything now.
I will neither confirm nor deny that I 1,000% agree with you. Come on now.
I mean, we've spent all this money on this stuff and we don't watch it all the time. You know, like many times, I mean, how many times they actually drop new episodes and things. I don't know. It's just frustrating with how many are out there now. I know how people felt about Peacock for that football game the other couple weeks ago. That angered a lot of people.
And it should. Yeah. Matter of fact, I think that was my What in the World is going on with an episode or two ago, because I was just like, come on. Seriously? That is wrong. You're going to put that behind a paywall?
Yeah.
But the person, my guest who was there that week, their thought process is, you know, be prepared, because usually what they're doing is they're testing for what they're going to do to you in the future. So this might become the norm sooner than we know.
Yeah, I think that, so college sports is obviously falling apart right now when it comes to conferences because of TV deals, right? The Pac-12's falling apart and all this stuff. And the thought as well is it all goes to streaming. ESPN's getting a lot of their funding from still cable stuff with bundles. And as that goes away, it'll all be behind paywalls, but will the money still be there? You know, all at some point, all this money going into sports and all these streaming services is going to have to kind of hit a plateau at some point.
Right.
What happens at that point? But I don't know. I just think we have a lot of different access to different, you know, I don't have anything that's jumping out at me, but what about you? Any good shows you're watching?
Right now on Hulu, there's this, and I can't tell you what the name of the show is, but it has to do with the pepper people, like these people who grow these super hot peppers and who enter these pepper contests. And I'm fascinated. Now, if you know a little something about me, I do spicy. Now, I don't do the ridiculous spicy. You won't see me eating no North Carolina Reapers raw or anything like that. But, you know, I do make some really nice hot sauce and salsa. And so, and my wife, who doesn't use any of this stuff, just likes to torture people. She just wants, and so we grow hot things and then we make amazingly yummy hot things. And watching these people, the farmers who are, I can't even call them farmers, growers who are growing these amazingly hot peppers, trying to create the hottest pepper in the world. And then watching the people who enter these contests to eat them, fascinating stuff. Just fascinating stuff. It's a really good show. So I don't know if it's for everyone, but it has me captivated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So next word, community.
Boy, first thing I thought of was just we're all in this together. You know, having grown up on, I grew up in the 54904, you know, grew up on the west side of Oshkosh. We're now in 54902. There's just differences within Oshkosh. And it's fascinating to me that I don't know that not everybody sees it, feels it, experiences it, but like just between the segments, if you break it down from the 54901 to the 2 to the 4, there's just differences within Oshkosh. And it's awesome, you know, it's enough to celebrate. And it's like we're not even that big of a city, but we kind of are, you know. And so I just think the community that holds us all together.
Last word, diversity.
So I kind of defined it earlier. From when I hear diversity, I immediately think of trying to explain to people what DEI actually stands for and what it means. And we kind of chatted through that already. So You know, I just, in general, Oshkosh is becoming more diverse. It's to be celebrated. You know, we had the shout out to Angie Lee, who former school board member who ran the Dragon Boat Festival this year. If I remember right, you may have been there paddling a boat yourself, right?
Facts. Me and Alpha Fraternity Incorporated there with my 20 fraternity brothers handled business. Almost drowned ourselves, but we did show up and we did show out.
The boat I got put in may or may not have beaten your boat.
You totally won. We started strong at the last two races we did. We started strong, but then we got tired.
Yeah. Well, if I remember right, you didn't have a full boat, too. You were missing a couple, weren't you?
Yeah, we were probably missing two or three people.
That's a big deal on those long rides.
Oh, facts.
But, you know, putting together the Dragon Boat Festival, you know, and celebrating different groups within our community. I think that's just, you know, another way that we celebrate each other. You know, it's not driving wedges between us. It's creating opportunities for all of us to grow. So I love those kind of festivals and really enjoyed it.
I never understand how people think those are wedge drivers.
Yeah.
Like, it's a good time to go celebrate in a space that you're unfamiliar with, but it's going to be enjoyable. You're going to learn some stuff. You're going to experience some stuff you didn't before, and it's pretty cool. Yeah. Definitely want to send a big shout out to the Dragon Ladies. Then those are the organizers, including Angie Lee and Greta and Fanny, helping to make that come. It's going to make a comeback this year. And you going back in?
I definitely will.
Yep.
That is one of my favorite events. Like, when we used to have that here, and that was run by UW Oshkosh and the YMCA.
Right.
That was one of my favorite events of the year. It was just such a fun day. If anyone hasn't experienced it, highly recommend that.
Get your team together. That's what I'm going to tell you. Get your team together. Okay, next segment. Next segment is called Kosh Hidden Gems. And this is your opportunity to tell us about a hidden gem out here somewhere. Maybe it's here. Maybe it's outside of the community. Maybe it's in the nation or the world. But nonetheless, a hidden gem, something. Maybe we all know about it, but maybe we don't know some special details about it, or maybe it's something you don't think we know. Let's go.
Maybe I'll ask you first. Do you have a hidden gem that you'd like to share? Maybe you can give me an idea.
I'll give you a hidden gem. If you have not had one of these bacon sandwiches at Z, which is the new, it's a new sandwich shop, burger shop, sandwich shop, over there where the old Subway used to be on Oregon, kind of like coming off that road by Artie and Ed's. So you come up there, and then when you get up to Oregon, there's like, is that Oregon? Am I picking the right street? I might not be saying the right street. Nonetheless, it's right there, XIE. So they have this bacon sandwich. And it is absolutely amazing. Slightly addicting. It's that good.
So if your wife doesn't come back with tacos, you're going to head over there today and get a sandwich?
I went last night, so I'm trying not to eat two bacon sandwiches at the same time because I got a doctor's appointment coming up and they tend to raise your blood pressure. And but that is a hidden gem, and if you don't know, I'm not talking about any of the other sandwiches. I am talking about the bacon sandwich. Oh. And it has about a half pound of bacon on it. I'm not even kidding. It's ridiculous. And then it's got an egg on it that's fantastic, but it has this chipotle ketchup. And this chipotle ketchup, this sauce that goes along with it, makes it all come together amazingly. That's my hidden gem.
Now my mouth is watering a little bit thinking about more food.
Yeah,
we talked a lot about food on this podcast.
Well, it happens. It happens. We celebrate it.
Boy, I don't know if I have a hidden gem to go with that. We talked about chai tea at Copper Rock. If I had to give a hidden gem, I think their harvest chai that they have at Copper Rock is probably my, if that's outside of cookie or pizza, probably my biggest weakness. There's something about a really nice hot beverage on a cold day that just kind of feels like it gives you a hug. And that drink up at Copper Rock is probably my favorite.
I like the setting. That setting is fire.
Yeah,
it's just comfortable.
Yep.
They do a good job of making it feel warm. Okay, that counts. All right, at this time, we're going to take a quick commercial break.
Did you know there are children in the Fox Valley in need of hearing aids? but their parents struggle to provide them because of lack of insurance or high copays? I am Juliette Sturkins, audiologist and board member of Here in the Fox Cities, and proud that this small local nonprofit organization has helped fund hearing aids for some 30 kids. Your donation would help more children hear. Visit hereinthefoxcities.org to learn more and to see their smiles. Every child deserves to hear.
All right, we are back. And I do want to say, if there are any nonprofits out there who would like a commercial here on the Kosh, I give away commercials on the Kosh for free for nonprofits. Also, at this time, I just want to make sure that we mention again that this episode of the Kosh is sponsored by Sturgeon Spirits Craft Distillery, my new favorite libations organization, the place where I like to sit down and have something tasty and yummy. It is the Kosh's newest tradition. It is fantastic there. I was there last night. Had some yummy things. Yeah, if you haven't gone yet, you got to go check that out. Big shout out to my man Todd and my man Carl. And yeah, no doubt. All right, now we are running into the next segment, and that segment is called Story Time. This is actually my new favorite segment on the Kosh. And this is an opportunity for our guests to just tell a story. It's a story about whatever they want, and it's about anything possible. So, Christopher, what's your story?
Well, I feel like I've already told some stories already here. I think the one of my favorite things to tell people is when we talk through the naming of Val Phillips. I used to kind of just talk through, and we kind of briefly touched on it, but you know, there was so much more that went into that process, that from reaching out to community members to going to the facilities and finance committee meetings, when you know you're looking at, you know, that name was announced, it came from the students. And they did polls within the buildings of what the students wanted to see. And so much of that came back that it was just such a big number that the committee realized we need to push this along to the second survey to see, you know, what does the community really think of these names that were being offered. And so much of the students and staff had such a big support of that name that it was just hard not to see that, and to see the support within the building from staff and students was incredible. And I thought it was something we couldn't pass up. And so, you know, you and I've chatted and, you know, thinking, boy, was it going to go through? Was it going to work? How was it going to happen? There's just so much story to that. Coming out of those meetings, I had to reach out to, you know, a number of community members to get feedback, to get thoughts. One of them was yourself. And to see, you know, what does this look like? How can this be done? And so to kind of get some support to see, you know, where we were at in the community, because there's always these talks of there'll always be the next time. There's always the next time. There's always another opportunity, but there's not always. And
nope.
So we go to that meeting that night and to that school board meeting. And for those of you who are interested in any fun school board meeting, I know some people don't find them fun. I find them fun. I still love them. That was December of 21, I think it was. And one of the meetings we had, you know, real conversation between all the board members that were there that night. And going in, I was excited. People were like, why are you excited? I was like, because we're going to have real conversations. You know, sometimes when you go to school board meetings, people think, oh, they're just rubber stamping everything. It's 7-0. We're moving on. There's no conversations. Like, we had real, real conversations at that meeting. And people were struggling to understand what the right path forward was. But you start to hear the community support. You know, many members of the community that we know, you know, reached out and showed their support for what name they wanted to see on that building. And ultimately, the school board had to make, you know, a real decision. You know, I had to reach out. I had to figure out. I was, at that point, eight months into the board, I had to know how to offer amendments, how to offer this, and how to follow protocol. So I was learning real quickly how we do that. And I had to reach out to different people and make sure I was following all these processes. And so we get to that place and, you know, start having those real conversations, and it all starts coming together. And so all the work within the community and all the work that had been done, you know, prior showed up in that moment. And, you know, we got to a real big place where if one vote doesn't go a certain way, it doesn't happen. And, you know, we had to get the amendment to pass first. And when that does, then it goes on to the next round. And then we needed a super majority of the board. And so just having real conversations and talking through it, getting to that place, it was quite the experience. And one was fun. We got to share at the state education convention in front of other people who are kind of doing their same journey. You mentioned Appleton, you know, people going through different journeys through this processes. And, you know, it was a real fun experience and a real rewarding experience, very much learning as we went through that. But I think from a, maybe not the best story you've heard on here, but just kind of giving some feedback or some filling in some gaps as to how that all came together was, you know, it was a lot of community support that went into that. And I've heard mostly, I mean, all positive since then.
That's awesome. And once again, it's showing who we are becoming. That's pretty awesome. No doubt. Okay. Well, it's that time. Every single time, it still makes me smile. I love it. That is fire intro music. All right. So, Christopher, it is time for topic of the week. This is your opportunity to share whatever topic you would like. Topic of the week is chosen by our guests 99.9% of the time, and this week is no different. And so, Christopher, what's our topic of the week?
I think something as simple as doing what's right because it's the right thing to do. I think sometimes that becomes very difficult. There's a lot of other factors going on in lives as we move through things we should do, things we feel like we have to do, things we feel obliged to do. But at times I try to center myself around just do the right thing, simply because that's the right thing to do in that moment. And I think that gets missed sometimes as we move through. We talked a lot in this podcast about, you know, how we do this moving forward in our community. We're growing more diverse. We're doing a lot of different things. But from a school board level, for myself, it becomes very simple. You do the right thing. I am an administrator. I run a surgery center. And I'm one of those people that believes if you invest in your people, you get it back. And it's not the other way around. If we make enough money, then we can invest. It's you take care of the people who make you successful. And that's doing the right thing. And I think the staff that I have is second to none. I try to do everything I can to support them and help them. And in turn, we are one of the great surgery centers for outcomes in the country. And we are a small little surgery center in Neenah. And that being able to invest in your people is simply just doing the right thing. You know, these people are real, you know, community members that, you know, have bills to pay and have responsibilities. And that's where I'd like to see more of an emphasis when it comes to businesses and corporations. And so much of this has come down to how do we make more money? How do we make more money? How do we get more money? Peacock, right? How do we get more money? How do we get people to buy more of our streaming service to do this? But at what point is there enough money? At what point is it doing the right thing? And so I would like to see more of an emphasis on doing the right thing by people.
Mm. This is a lesson of leadership. Where did you learn it?
So a lot of this has been gained over the years and just seeing different people. But there's a few books I've read that I would give shout outs to. And one of them is The Twin Thieves by Steve Jones and forgot his first name, Lucas Jaden, who Steve Jones is a former football coach at Kimberly. And he wrote this little leadership fable about that football team. And I think there's a lot of lessons within that book that are helpful. But I've read a lot of leadership books, a lot of biographies for athletes and figures and important figures. And just the more I see it, it's simple. It's not complicated. And sometimes we overcomplicate it by trying to make as much money. And it's, from my standpoint, it's very simple. Your people are everything. They're the resource that shouldn't be nickel and dimed. They're the people who make you what you are. There's a reason why certain companies are more successful. You know, they invest in their people. And you hear great stories about that. And it's sometimes you feel like in myself when I, you know, run my surgery center, we feel sometimes like you're on an island, that other people are making decisions differently. But when you see the results can't be, they can't be avoided. When your results and your patient experience and patient happiness and outcomes and everything are off the charts, there's a reason why. It's your people.
Facts.
And, you know, in the school board, it's the same thing. Like, we have work to do. We have groups of our employees who need better, and we need to give them better. They're our community members. They're around us and with us. And some of the people, including the paraprofessionals who make the least amount of money but do some of the
hardest work.
Hardest work. Thank you. They deserve better, and they deserve more. And at the end of the day, we're stuck with a budget that many times we don't have complete control over when it comes to state and the biennium and the budgets and things. But, you know, we try to do the best we can with our community members, because we do have the ability to tax to a certain place. And in the city of Oshkosh this year, taxes went down 0.3%. And so you're trying to balance doing what's right by the community by doing what's right by your employees. So the school board is a little different than a corporation as to how you balance that. But ultimately, I think at the end of the day, if you're doing what's right because it's the right thing to do, you will succeed.
Facts. Do you think, I mean, that's such a good point. I want to ask something along the lines about, like, the understanding or the value of, like, I sometimes just think it really does get lost in the concept, like, that the people that engage, no matter what you do professionally or whatever the job is, even if you don't have, like, true customers, there's always a customer service aspect to whatever you do, right? And when you don't take care of your people and then they're out representing your organization and they're not doing it well because they aren't properly compensated, there's really something to that. And that people in the organizations that tend to take care of their people, like, it's like field of dreams, like, because those people tend to engage better, then that means other people come because the experience is high level, more than adequate.
Yeah.
And there's something to that.
Well, I mean, you mentioned Disney before, right? I mean,
facts.
Disney has had their struggles, as everybody does, but when you're on Disney grounds, you're immersed in that experience of, and the way you're treated, and you can feel that people like to be there. You know, the cast members and everybody there, there's just that feeling. And you can feel it. Like, if you go to a place and you know people don't want to be there, you go to some, we're not naming names here, but you go to some restaurants and you know, you can tell people don't want to be there. You go to some stores and employees don't want to be there. They're there for a paycheck.
Yeah.
And I can appreciate that from that perspective. From,
yes,
people needing to be able to make money, and I totally get it. But you know the places you walk into and the people want to be there.
It's a culture.
And that's the culture that in a lot of this takeover industry of, and something I'm going through personally, you know, big corporations come in and take over and they're trying to make everything uniform, but not everything's uniform. You know, what works in one part of the country doesn't work in other parts of the country. What works in one part of the city doesn't work in the other part of the city, you know, and there's nuances to that that gets lost. And as we try to do what's right by our people, and if our goal isn't just make shareholders happy or all of these other items when it comes to what people think profit really is and success looks like. I mean, to go back to your previous point, what's success look like? Success, maybe my answer there should have simply been doing what's right because it's the right thing to do. Because you will succeed. If you do the right thing and do it the right way, I find it hard to believe you won't succeed.
Is there any last things you would like to say about this topic?
I guess I'd give support to people who are feeling the same way that I am, you know, as you're going through it, trying to think about doing the right thing and trying to balance out what you're, you know, why you're making decisions and what you're doing. I think just, you know, being honest with it and doing what's right because it's the right thing to do. And it sometimes is difficult, but sometimes it's just as simple as that.
Okay. Thank you, Christopher. And now it's time for us to start wrapping up this episode. Kosh listeners, I want to say thank you, thank you, Thank you. Thank you for spending time with us. Thank you for giving us your minds and ears. Thank you for caring enough to listen to another one of our community members share their experiences, share the things they're doing, how they're engaged, and why it matters. In this case, this was such an awesome episode because I love the idea that we've had this conversation in episode 7 and now we are coming back to it almost 100 episodes later, and it's fantastic to revisit. As you know, we are a work in progress. We want to continue to get better. I do believe we are becoming a better podcast every episode. And how do we do that? Well, I need y'all to give us a hand with that, and that is let us know how we can be better. Reach out to us. Contact us if you would like to be a guest. Contact us if you'd like to recommend a guest. And you can contact us at askthekosh@gmail.com. Once again, that is askthekosh@gmail.com. Also, the other thing is I got a little homework for y'all. It's real, real easy. While you are sitting here listening to this episode, take a moment and hit the subscribe button. Also, if you got more than a couple of moments, leave us a review. What this does is it improves our analytics. And the better our analytics are, the more eyes and ears learn about the Kosh. And, you know, we've got something pretty special going on here. And I think more community members would really appreciate what can be found in these conversations. All right. We are on to the next thing. And this is no doubt a favorite part of the show. And that means it is shout out time. So Chris, what do you got for shout outs?
Personally, I'll give a shout out to my wife, Sarah, who's doing a really great job right now working through. She's actually on her path to be a teacher. So she's
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, trying to contribute back as well to the education, and education obviously matters a lot to us. So she's working her way through, doing a great job. My other two board members who are up for re-election, Beth Wyman, Chris Wright. I think the three of us have done an amazing job in the board in the last 3 years, and give a shout out to them. I think really enjoy working with them on the school board, and while we at times see things differently, I think that we ultimately agree on the end goal of what we're trying to do. And I think that we talk about everyone can agree than we disagree. I am very thankful and happy to serve on the school board with them, and I support both of them tremendously. So give a shout out to you. How many episodes in your podcast, and you know how you've grown since I've been here last. I think you've done a great job, and hope it continues to grow.
Thank you. Me too. All right. Let me keep it simple and short this week. Hey, I want to send a special shout out to Bosco, the podcast dog, because my boy, he's a little under the weather. He's been puking everywhere. My guy, he's just kind of, I don't know, he ain't feeling right. And you know what? He is the energy in our home. And when Bosco ain't right, everything ain't kind of right. So I'm hoping my boy gets right again. Because Christopher, he didn't even pop in here to bother you this whole episode. And that is not him. That's not Bosco. He is very much part of almost every episode. I want to just send a shout out to the community as a whole. Thank you. Thank you for those out there listening. Thank you for those who care, those who I know, those who I can't wait to meet. I am very lucky in the aspect that I get an opportunity to meet some pretty cool people, and they're doing some pretty cool things for the greater good of all of us. And that's a really good thing because I get constant reminders about who we are, who we really, really are, not when we are at our worst. I think I often get to see us when we're at our best. And there's something really powerful about that. And that helps me be my best. Or at least I hope it does. All right. And then last but not least, I want to send a special shout out to the wife, the person who allows us to come into the home and make these episodes. She holds me down. She makes it all right. I appreciate you, baby. I love you.
Hopefully she's got tacos for you, right?
That's right. Hey, look, that's extra. If she brought tacos too, then, you know, that's even a more special thank you. Yes. But I'm not gonna hold her to the tacos because I'm not scared to go run and go get some tacos. Ooh, you know what? I'm gonna give a shout out to Mad Chicken. I went for the first time and had some of their chicken wings, and they had these garlic honey wings, and they were worthy. They were worthy. You know what? That's the new way that I'm gonna describe food experiences that I find. That bacon sandwich I told y'all about earlier is worthy. Those wings, they are worthy. And that's what I'm going to say. I'm gonna bring this word into when people go out and eat places, and they're going to say that was worthy, because that's how I feel about it. All right. Wrapping it up, we've got one thing left to do, Christopher, and that is this. You get three choices. There is option A, to leave the Kosh listeners with some parting words of wisdom. Option B is to tell Kosh listeners, what would yourself today tell your 13-year-old self? And option C is all of the above. You can do both if you choose to. So what do you want to do?
I think we'll go with a parting word of wisdom. I use this with my kids a lot. I tell them, and I don't remember where I heard it. I don't know if there's attributed to anybody particular. But smart people learn from their own mistakes. Wise people learn from other people's mistakes. At least be a smart person.
Facts. All right. Hey, Christopher, thank you so much for making a second go around here at the Kosh. I hope this motivates some more Kosh alumnus out there. The Kosh.